Colcord. Sanitarium Farm, Thornley, New South Wales, Australia. January 4th, 1900. Dear Brother Colcord, I thank you for your letter in the enclosures. You have handled the matter of the man and his wife very nicely. This must take its impression upon them. The articles, I hope, will do much good. This is the way, the only way, in which you can work. Keep the Lord Jesus uplifted as the pattern. The living oracles of God, it is written, are the leaves of the tree of life, which human beings are to eat in order to gain spiritual life. As we eat the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they become unto us eternal life. The words that I speak unto you, he said, they are spirit and they are life. John 6, verse 63. The restoring vital current from Christ heals the wounds that sin has made. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Whatever course others pursue, we are individually to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it is God that worketh in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Yes, for His own name's glory, He works upon the minds and hearts of human beings, who are of great value in His sight, if they will allow Him to work. When man fell, God commenced to work to defeat the plans of Satan. God works in man. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. In the beginning, the Lord enjoined upon man the cultivation of the earth. This work was made much harder because of the transgression of the law of God. By transgressing, man worked against his own present and eternal good. The earth was cursed because through disobedience, man gave Satan opportunity to sow in the human heart the seeds of evil. The ground that in the beginning produced only good began to produce tares, and their growth called for continual warfare. The cultivation of the soil is a school in which man may learn spiritual lessons. As he cultivates the soil, man is to see reflected, as in a mirror, the work of God upon the human soul. Divine culture brings perfection. If in connection with God the work is carried forward, the human agent, through Christ, will day by day gain victory and honor in the battle. Through the grace given, he will overcome and will be placed on vantage ground. In his relation to Christ, he will be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, one with Christ in a peculiar relationship, because Christ took the humanity of man. He became subject to temptation, endangering, as it were, his divine attributes. Satan sought, by the constant and curious devices of his cunning, to make Christ yield to temptation. Man must pass over the ground over which Christ has passed. As Christ overcame every temptation which Satan brought against him, so man is to overcome. And those who strive earnestly to overcome are brought into a oneness with Christ that the angels in heaven can never know. The divine culture of men and women will be carried forward to completion only as they are partakers of the divine nature. Thus they may overcome as Christ overcame in their behalf. Through the grace given, fallen man may be placed on vantage ground. Through toil, through patient trust and faith in Jesus Christ, through faithful continuance in well-doing, he may rise to spiritual victory. The Christian is a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. Singular? Yes, he has a most singular, peculiar character, because his life is worked out after the divine similitude. The inhabitants of unfallen worlds and of the heavenly universe are watching with an intense interest the conflict between good and evil. They rejoice as Satan's subtleties, one after another, are discerned and met with. It is written, as Christ met his conflict with the wily foe. Every victory gained is a gem in the crown of life. In the day of victory, all the universe of heaven triumphs. The harps of the angels send forth the most precious music, accompanying the melody of the voice. Sing, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O Israel! Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem! The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Zephaniah 3, verse 14 to 17. The Lord will give divine culture to those who are laborers together with him. To be a laborer together with God means to strive and wrestle to grow up into Christ's likeness. It is Satan who makes it necessary for us to strive. Those who will keep the eye fixed upon the life of the Lord Jesus will gain an abundant entrance into his spiritual temple. Then what an unfolding of spiritual truth will there be in their words, for they are eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God. He declared, Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, never crave the world's advantages and attractions. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. John 4, verse 14. We have nothing to fear if we will only appropriate the words of Christ, which are to us spirit and life. Thus we eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, who has said, Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. John 6, verse 54 to 58. Brother and sister Colcord, have courage in the Lord. He loves you, and he invites you to put your whole trust in him. Do not seek to mold yourselves, but let the Lord mold you, as clay is molded in the hands of the potter, that you may become vessels unto honor. The Lord God is the health of your countenance. Believe me when I tell you that it is not change of place that will relieve you of burdens and anxieties. Satan is seeking with his masterly power of deception to keep you so harassed that your strength will be sapped and your courage quenched. When you do all that is in your power to do for your son, you must leave him in the hands of God. You both have a work to do for the Master. Satan is trying to work on the mind of your son to unsettle you and keep you in solicitude. Thus he would discourage you and keep you from doing the work of God. But God is your helper. Look unto me, he says to you. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Trust in me, I will guide you with my eye. Psalm 32, verse 8. If you take yourselves in your own hands to follow your own wisdom, you will have sorrow, great sorrow. I know that the Lord Jesus will not leave or forsake any soul that trusts in Him. He will honor your faith. He will never betray you. You can safely trust in your Redeemer. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Do not become distrustful or doubting, for I am by your side. Rest yourself in my hands. The Lord God is your helper. Say, "I must and will trust in Him. I will not fear. He will guide me. I may walk safely in His footsteps." Oh, cling with all your strength to the Lord Jesus. Let nothing hinder you from following Him, and then you can be a great blessing to others. The Lord has given you light to impart to others, and in imparting, you will be constantly receiving. Christ said to His disciples, "Could ye not watch with me 1 hour?" Matthew 26, verse 40. The Savior longed for human sympathy, and in His agony He came to His disciples, hoping to hear some word which would impart a ray of consolation. But the ones who ought to have been watching and praying were asleep. The Lord will help us if we will trust in Him, walking by faith and not by sight. I have a request to make. Do your best to come near to the Kerr brothers. Talk with the Wesleyan minister and see if there is not some way to disarm his opposition. Certainly there is one thing that our ministers ought to do, and that is to pray with and for their fellow ministers. Pray with these men for whom Christ is interceding. We do not generally express faith that ministers will be converted, but why should we not believe for them? Keep up an acquaintance with them. Come nigh to them, as you would come nigh to the people. As a people, we do not manifest that deep, earnest interest that we should in the shepherds of the flock. My heart is pained because those who have the privilege of hearing and understanding do not hear and refuse to understand. But the Lord will help us if we trust in Him. A great work is to be done in Maitland. The work may move slowly. We may be tried to the uttermost, but let patience have her perfect work. There is more than one man of talent who is kicking against the pricks. If we had labored as earnestly for the shepherds of the flock as we have for others, many would have been converted. God will help us and help many others through us to help others. We are praying for you all, and as long as life shall last, we shall continue to pray. Give us souls, O God. Give us souls that are perishing out of Christ.